Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, February 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Computers today on the program, and joining us to help troubleshoot your computer is Tony Yang, operator of Albany-based Gig Computers, which currently manages the computer network here at WAMC. Gig focuses on PC repairs, network consulting services, and voice over IP communications, and he knows his stuff. Always a good time and an informative time when Tony Yang is on this program. Give us a call if you have a question. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Hard drive, software, your calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's Computer Day on the program. Every so often, we invite Tony Yang from Gig Computers to come and answer your computer questions. Today is that day. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby, quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for many companies and organizations, including this one. And always great to have Tony Yang on the program. Tony, welcome back to Vox Pop.
Ray, good to be back. Thank you.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. So you just got back from Vegas, huh?
Vegas.
Nice. CES.
Consumer Electronics Show, the biggest one in the world.
And you can write that off, yeah? Taxes?
Yes.
Oh, good for you.
That is a legitimate business trip.
So tell me about it. What did you see that really blew your mind?
There's always something new out there every year that I've been out there. And you get to see stuff that's coming out probably in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Few things that just blew me away were these. They had these LG foldable screen, LCD screen.
Foldable.
You can literally roll the whole thing up. It's almost paper thin.
What the heck?
They had this whole tunnel built where the entire tunnel is covered by TV screens. Top to bottom, it's pretty amazing. And that stuff is coming out.
That's a monitor, though. How could you get sound out of the thing? I'm not kidding. I mean, if it's paper thin, you could see, okay, an LCD doesn't require much, but where does the sound come from?
Yeah, I think the units that we saw had speakers.
On the side.
On the side.
Oh, that
they
makes
weren't
sense.
Built into
yeah.
it. But I mean, you look at these speakers that the cell phones has now, they're really paper thin.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take too much imagination to think that they can build that into the paper thin LCDs.
So these foldable LCDs are rollable or whatever. They're not going to be available yet.
Not yet. I haven't seen it on the market yet.
That's
they were
amazing.
On display and they were at least 60, 70 inches wide. It's pretty impressive.
The picture was good?
Picture looks awesome.
Wow.
As good as any TV I've seen so far.
Well, I got to get one.
And then there were the now this is something that that I've seen for the first time. We've seen smaller versions of this.
Yeah.
They had these 60-inch glass-free, so you don't have to wear any eyeglasses, but they're 3D TVs without glasses.
3D
that
TVs without glasses. Now they've talked about this possibility for decades. How do you do it?
I know it's I don't know. It's amazing. You stand there. You can stand right in front of it or sideways, and the image that's projected off the screen. It's not a projector.
Wow.
It's an actual LCD screen, and the 3D effect on it looks pretty impressive.
That's incredible.
Not as good as some of the TVs I've seen at NSA Best Buy, but it's pretty darn close.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
And then the wearable computer.
Oh,
what's up with that?
Yes. So this is another thing that really blew me away. They had these what they call smart suits. So
smart
looks
suits.
Like, yep, looks like a regular business suit. It's got sensors built in throughout the entire suit. It can detect your heart rate, your body temperature. In fact, if you get too warm or too cold, it can turn on heat.
Oh, I love
it. You can turn on a fan to cool the suit down. I mean, this is stuff that's going to come out to the market soon.
Why would you need that? Why would you need something like that?
Besides the cool factor?
Yeah. And what happens if you spill some ketchup on your suit?
Yeah, you know,
or a soda?
That's a good question, actually.
And how much but did that cost, or would it cost, you think?
There's no price.
Thousands of
which
dollars.
Which means it's going to be expensive. You know, I can see an application, a medical application for this. So if you have a heart condition, you put this suit on, it's able to alert EMS. It's able to scent, you know, your heart rate, your pulse, and all that information before the EMT gets there. So I think there are lots of possibilities where this could come into play.
Technology's gone too far, Tony. We are nearing the end of time here. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551, the number. Tony Yang is our guest. David in Massachusetts. David, you're first.
Hi, good morning. So the religious institution that I belong to runs computers. The first one is a Windows XP operating system, and the second one is a Windows 10. Both are hooked up to the router,
okay,
which is connected to the internet. I want to share a printer, and the printer is presently also hooked up to the router using a LAN cord and is also hooked up to the Windows XP using the USB cord.
Okay.
But I can't get the Windows 10 computer to find it.
All right. So to recap, since Tony's headphones weren't working in the beginning, you have in your religious institution, you have a Windows XP and a Windows 10. You want them to share a printer. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Tony.
Okay. So Windows XP, you will need to have the professional version of both operating systems. So you need to have XP Professional and Windows 10 Professional as well. Otherwise, it will not allow you to do the network, to use the network features that you're looking to do. The printers can be shared, files can be shared. It will be a peer-to-peer network, so you can absolutely do that without having a server in place. What you want to do is go into the printer session and share, right-click on it and share the printer. Some basic networking knowledge will be good to do this. Probably, you know, I will recommend getting just a professional help on getting on setting this up. It's you do have to set up user IDs and passwords, put an IP address on your printer. If you have a network printer, so there's some steps involved with this, but you can do it.
David, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why are you sticking with Windows XP on that one machine?
Financial reasons. Well, the religious institution just doesn't have the funds to replace both computers at this time.
Okay. All right. So it's doable.
It is absolutely doable, yes.
Okay. Well, David, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Frankly, I loved XP. I loved it. I was sorry to see it go.
XP was superb.
And they phased things out for no reason. They could have kept supporting it, and it would have been very happy. Let's go to Bonnie in New Baltimore. Bonnie.
Yes?
Hello, you're on.
Oh, thank you.
Can you take your speakerphone off?
Oh, yes.
Much better.
Is that better?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. My question is, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
The Dragon Naturally Speaking program, could you talk a little bit about that? And is it much better than what's already the speech program that's already built into the Apple Macintosh?
Dragon Naturally Speaking, what is that?
Dragon Naturally Speaking is a speech recognition software.
Okay. This is a third-party software to go on your computer.
On your computer. So Dragon Naturally Speaking is probably on the top one or two
really
speech recognition software that you can get out there. I would strongly recommend
really
that if you're doing serious speech recognition. This software is integrated into lots of the medical dictation software, so it is that good. So absolutely, I get that. It's much better than most built-in stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, Bonnie.
Yes, I just turned off my radio because I...
Oh.
So I'm sorry. What did you say?
He likes the Dragon Naturally Speaking very much.
Okay, and it's better than what's already built into the computer, and they had like different ones. There were a home one or a professional one. Do you know anything about the if it's worth getting one versus the other?
Yeah, I can't recall what the major differences are, but I would imagine that the home version is suitable for most people's use. The professional versions may be specific to certain industries, but I will get the home version, and it's a superb piece of software.
All right, Bonnie, thanks a lot for the call. Is that a piece of software that is smart in that it learns your cadences and the way you speak and will adapt over time?
It can. It does have a learning feature, just like most speech recognition software out there, but this is one of the much better ones.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah. I've been amazed with my smartphone over the improvements in speech recognition over the past 3 or 4 years.
Oh, yes.
In the beginning, not very good.
That's right. Yes.
Now, pretty good.
It's getting pretty good. And, you know, we're getting real close to natural speech, which is on the horizon these
Again,
days.
Again, we're close to the end of time, Tony. I know you're a computer guy, but all of this makes me very uneasy. Anthony in South Hadley. Anthony, you're on.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm using Windows 7 Professional, and it's time for me to upgrade my Office Professional Suite, which is Office 2007. And I'm trying to decide between the 365 Office subscription versus an either download or disk version. My concern about the online 365 version is there may be changes made that I don't get to know about. Am I on the wrong track by having that concern? I always like to have the CDs at home just in case.
Yeah. Hi, Anthony. So Office 365 is, as you said, it's subscription based. So if you stop, let's say a year from now, you decide I don't want to pay for this anymore, the software will stop running. If you buy a over the counter box with Office in it, that will continue to work forever, for as long as you own it. The major differences are that over the counter, you have to pay several hundred dollars up front. Subscription, you pay anywhere between, I've seen it as low as $4 to $5 per user to about $10 per user, and you're guaranteed to have the latest version always.
Yeah.
So it's something that you have to weigh and decide for yourself. The Office 365 also gives you the ability to store all of your files online, so you can go anywhere in the world and be able to work on your files. So it certainly does have certain a bunch of advantages over the the box version.
Anthony, we have to take a break here. Tony Yang is our guest. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you have a computer question, we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Interactive Media Consulting, a team of online market strategists providing websites, branding, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond since 1996. imediaconsult.com. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, a plastic surgeon dedicated to aesthetic cosmetic surgery, fat transfers, facial rejuvenation, breast augmentation, and laser and skin care since 1996, 518-786-1700. Hudson Wine Merchants, a wine and spirits boutique in the heart of Hudson, New York. Curbside service and delivery available. Hudson Wine Merchants, raise your glass. HudsonWines.com. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Balton Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Computers Today with Tony Yang, and the number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And Tony, a couple of quick emails here before we go back to the phones. Right. This one is from Anita. Hi, I have a 2010 MacBook Pro It is shut down completely at night, power above 30%, but in the morning the power is frequently at zero. If the computer is in use while plugged in and at 100%, the power will usually drop. Time for a new battery? That's from Anita.
Probably that would be the first thing to try is to get a new battery. You can get that off places like eBay or Amazon and try that out. If that's not the issue, then you're looking at something that's far more expensive to repair.
Could it just be a power supply? I mean, it's plugged in and it goes at 100% and then it drops while plugged in.
Yeah, that's weird. That's normally a battery or a motherboard related issue.
Oh, motherboard. Okay, good. Yeah. Well, enjoy that bill. This one is from Mark. What does it mean to jailbreak a cell phone? I've been told that I need to jailbreak my Android phone in order to get it to save apps to my micro SD card. Kids seem to know what this means, but I'm lost. How do you jailbreak an Android phone to make it do what you want? That's from Mark.
Can we talk about this stuff,
Ray? No, you can't.
Ray?
Is it not legal to do?
You're breaking copyright rules.
All right.
So
let's not get into legal trouble.
Okay. Well, what jailbreaking means you're basically hacking the system to open it up in order to do things that are not designed to do.
Well, if Joe Schmo at home can jailbreak his phone to do things that the phone is not designed to do, would it not behoove Samsung or whoever to design the phone to do those things? Am I wrong?
Well, if they do that, then all these vendors out there wouldn't be making the money that they're making.
End of time coming, Tony. All right, let's go to Deanne in Kingston. Deanne, you're on.
Hi. I had an issue with my Acer laptop, which has a Windows 10 operating system. It totally froze up the other day while I was trying to send a file to my boss. And it was not good. So the computer has been slow lately and freezing up here and there for I'd say 10 seconds here and there. Usually I have the internet open at the same time as Windows. But nothing fancy. I'm not really doing a lot with it at once. But it got so frozen up that I'm thinking something's really the matter. So do you have any suggestions on either an existing feature that I might have on that laptop for troubleshooting, or do you suggest a program or some kind of virus protection program that I can buy?
So we always recommend, on this show especially, we always recommend people downloading software made by the Malwarebytes.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Right. It's a really effective piece of software. There's a free version and a pay version. And I
Can you give me the name of that again, please?
Yes. Malwarebytes.
Malwarebytes.
Yeah, B-Y-T-S.
And that's a .org, correct? Malwarebytes.org? Am I wrong?
I think .com works as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they have a free version and a pay version. Get the pay version.
Oh, I use the free version.
I use the free version myself as well. But the pay version allows you to run these protections in the background.
So the real-time protection.
The real-time protection, which is effective and useful for most users out there. Run that software, clean out, see what it finds. I found sometimes when I run run that software on my computer, there are hundreds of things on it.
Yeah,
because I haven't ran it for months. So you'd be well served by running that and clean out what you can clean out and see how it goes after that. That seems to do a lot of good for lots of users out there.
All right, Deanne, thanks for the call. Tony Yang is our guest. The number is 800-348-2551. Joe in Pittsfield is on. Joe.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Tony.
Joe.
I've got a question about using Outlook. I've got a Windows 10 Dell to replace a Windows XP Dell. Finally got rid of that old machine. But I had Office 2012 on the old XP machine and absolutely loved using Outlook as my interface to my Verizon.net mail. Mm-hmm. Since then, I bought Office 2016 for several hundred dollars, as you mentioned earlier,
yeah,
installed it on my Windows 10 machine and cannot get Office to connect to what is now an AOL mail server. Verizon sold their mail service to AOL. So I noticed recently that AOL is offering, oh, incidentally, to get to my AOL inbox now, I have to use a web browser and wade through tons of advertisements and pop-ups and everything else before I see my subject lines in my inbox. AOL is now offering an ad-free interface to their mail server for a monthly fee.
Oh,
my question is this. What's the likelihood that my Outlook 2016 does not work with my AOL server, in spite of the fact I go through line by line and do all the things they say to do to set it up, because they really want to make money on the ad-free interface?
Yeah, wow, Joe. So it's been a while since I actually looked at an AOL email address.
Yeah.
But the last time I was working on an AOL email, you can interface to it with Microsoft Outlook.
When Verizon sold their mail service to AOL, they offered subscribers like me with a Verizon.net email address to keep the Verizon.net email address, which I did.
Yeah.
So now, when I try to get to my Verizon.net inbox, I'm really connecting with an AOL server through a web browser.
Yeah, and that's not as big of a deal. I mean, that happens all the time when companies merge or get taken over.
People can still address me as
That's right.
You can use at Verizon.net.
Right. Yep, and you can probably use both simultaneously. So, Joe, I'm thinking that this is more of a setting issue within Microsoft.
It's not a POP server.
It should be a POP server, or it can be using IMAP as well.
I tried them both. AOL sent out emails to Verizon subscribers saying, you have a choice of using POP3 or IMAP.
Yep.
Here are the step-by-step procedures you need to go through, including screenshots, to set it up to be compatible. I tried it both ways twice, checking every move I made with my wife watching me over my shoulder.
Oh, that's always
pleasant. None of it worked.
Yeah.
Joe, try disabling your firewall on Windows 10 and see if that helps.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought of that.
Not for long, though.
Well, not for long, but just to see if your Outlook starts working.
To do the setup?
Yeah, because Microsoft Windows Firewall will block port 25, which is the SMTP port to send out email. So, I wouldn't be surprised if it's shutting down port 110 as well, which is to receive email.
I know. And AOL's instructions say to use port 998, 997, some one of those.
Yeah, but firewalls will. Your firewall will shut down most of those ports. So, disable it altogether and give it a shot.
Joe, thanks for the call. We go over to Maureen in Schenectady. Maureen.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi.
Hi, Maureen.
I have a question about Macintosh upgrading my operating system. I tried to install TurboTax for Mac 2017, and it said it wouldn't run on my current operating system, which is Yosemite 10.10.5, and it says I have to upgrade. My question is, do I upgrade to the next OS, which is El Capitan, or do I go further and upgrade to Sierra or High Sierra? And my big concern is, if I jump all the way to High Sierra, what do I have that's not going to work?
Right.
Oh, boy.
Well, the latest version of TurboTax should run on the latest version of the Mac OS.
But she doesn't have the latest version.
She doesn't have that. So when it comes to OS upgrades, Maureen, I always recommend, unless there's a specific reason not to, such as Windows Millennium back then, which told people to never do that. But if you're going to be upgrading it, Mac OS is typically pretty stable. I haven't heard anything real negative out there. So I would recommend that you upgrade to the latest version of the OS.
Okay.
That way you know you're guaranteed compatibility with most of the latest software out there.
Okay. Okay. Because I did this once before, and I ran into having to buy new upgraded copies of different software that I use.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a problem, yep. And unfortunately, that there's no, you know, you can obviously go through every single software and check to see the compatibility with versions of operating systems out there. But if you have mostly somewhat later versions of software, they tend to be compatible with the latest OS.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So
I
best
don't really
of luck.
Have anything that's that old. I just didn't know if I should go to El Capitan and then High Sierra, or just go right to High Sierra?
Personally, I will go to High Sierra right away.
All right. What colorful names? No, El Capitan, yes. High Sierra. Okay. Let's go to Jack in Worthington. Jack, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I've got a problem printing something out, and I've got an HP Pro Office Jet, which is not all that old. But recently, well, not so recently anyway, but PayPal has reformatted some of their online forms, and my printer is only printing half of the packing slip. And I have gone through it and tried to reduce it or expand it or anything like that, and I can't do it. And I called PayPal, and they said it's got to be my printer. However, it seems to be printing fine on everything else I print out, and it, you know, prints it in full size and everything. So have I got a situation where I've got to get into my printer?
Well, Jack, which browser are you using to browse? Okay, so you might want to try Chrome or Microsoft Edge and see if that makes a difference. So that's where I would go first, and then at the same time I would get the latest version of the printer software from HP. And make sure that that's updated to the latest the latest thing they got out there.
Do you have the button click that says fit to page?
I'm sorry, that says what?
It says fit. A lot of times when you're printing something, it'll say fit to page.
Yeah, I have that, and I've clicked it, and I've tried to do it even booklet size, and it's just cutting off half of the page.
That typically.
It's the only form that I do. Although my wife just told me, I mentioned it to her, and she said that she's downloading some of the receipts from online purchases, and it's only printing half of that as well.
Oh, interesting.
So either Chrome or else look for the update for HP.
Yep, I would do both.
Okay.
Lots of websites, lots of these kind of issues gets resolved a different browser.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. Jack, thanks for the call. Tony Yang is our guest. We answer computer questions on this program today, and the number is 800-348-2551. Leanne in Hyde Park is on.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
My question is, my son keeps asking about VPN protection, and he showed me how sometimes the computer, the computer, like, slows down or stops, and he says, well, somebody's, like, delaying our IP address or something like that.
You're talking about virtual private network?
VPN.
Okay. VPN, yeah.
Right. Yeah, is that important to pay for subscription to that or not?
So VPNs are typically used by corporations with teleworkers,
right,
where they use this virtual private tunnel between their home computer and the corporate computer. That way data doesn't leak out to the internet.
Right.
That's the typical use of VPNs. There are also these services that are providing anonymity.
Right,
the internet.
For kind of anonymous browsing. Yeah. Avast has one, and all the firewall companies usually have one.
So, you know, that's typically used when you don't want wherever you're going to be known to your ISP for other reasons.
So if you're doing online gambling in New York State, for instance, Leanne, that would be what you use.
That's a very good point, and it's used a lot.
And they'll still catch you, though.
VPNs will actually slow down your web browsing. It doesn't make it faster. So it actually has the opposite effect.
Mm.
So whatever traffic you're sending through VPN slows it down because it's got to encrypt and encapsulate all that data within the VPN pipe.
Okay.
So that's not going to solve your slowness
problem.
So that
wasn't the issue then, probably.
It's not.
Something was happening when he was on one of his game, when he was on you know, Xbox playing Call of Duty or one of those, and he says, oh, well, people are, you know, hacking our IPS or something and glitching us off. And he says it'll come back on in 15 minutes or 5 minutes or, you know, something like
that. So VPN is not the answer for that, Leanne. What you want to look at is possibly malware stuff on your computers, the PCs that you have at the house.
Yeah.
So I will run the virus scans and clean everything out of your PCs versus doing a VPN. VPNs will not solve that problem for you. It will, in fact, slow things down.
Thank you so much.
In a situation like that, would a hardware firewall right at the endpoint?
I hope she's got a firewall.
That would be helpful. But yeah. I mean, her son probably knows what he's doing, right? He's a gamer.
Sounds like it. I mean, if he's talking about VPNs, then he's probably looked into this stuff. Like I said, VPNs have the opposite effect. All users out there, please, if you're on the internet, make sure you got a firewall.
Yeah, it's a good plan. And Windows comes with one. I don't know how effective it is, but it comes with one.
You still should not be plugging right onto your cable modem with your laptop. There should be a router in between that gives you that first layer of protection.
Yes, yes. All right, quickly, before the next break, to Peg in Del Mar. Peg.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a mini iPad, and somehow or other, my little grandchild deleted all my notes.
Those lovable scamps,
think it was iCloud. Can I get them back, especially if I go to the Apple store?
So it was on the cloud to begin with.
Yeah.
A lot of times there's an option saying deleted files, and you undelete them.
Yeah. Have you looked at the recovery or undelete folder in your iCloud
account?
Well,
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
So I don't know what that. I have no idea what it is, but my question is: they're all deleted.
Yeah.
If I go to the Apple Store, do you think there's some way they could try to retrieve them?
You know, I was just going to
say, because I don't know what you mean.
Okay. I was just going to say you might want to give iCloud support people a call, but if you stop by one of these Apple stores, they can certainly help you with that. And not only can they potentially recover that from iCloud, but there are ways to recover that from the iPad mini as well.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So go talk to a genius.
Yeah, that's right.
But wait a minute. To a genius. What's the difference between recovering it from iCloud and recovering it from the device?
Well, it's stored in two different places.
The cloud is away.
Oh.
Right. So you are not at all at this point at the end of the tunnel. There are several steps that several potential ways of recovering your data. So stop by Apple Store and see what they got to say.
Okay. Well, good luck, Peg, and we appreciate it. Tony Yang is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from the Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Water by the Spoonful, a returning Iraq soldier struggles with civilian life, March 1st to 11th, newpaltz.edu/theater. Personal Wine Cellar, Glenville, family-owned business since 2011, providing an array of red and white wines, spirits, and libations, weekly tastings, not the biggest, just the best, 518-399-9463. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, partnering in preserving historic New York through advocacy, education, grants, and loans, so our past is a future. PreserveNYS.org. Lathrop Communities, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition, together transforming the experience of aging. Lathrop.Kendall.org. And Patricia Dalton Fennell, producer, working to bridge the arts, science, and service, announcing Jazz Colleagues events throughout the listening area. PatriciaDaltonJazz.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. A couple of quick emails here, Tony, and then we will go right back to the phones. By the way, someone asked me earlier, you guys still on Central Avenue in Colony?
We are. We've moved from 1314 to 1252 Central Avenue.
Oh, moving downtown, are you?
Slightly toward downtown, yes.
Wow, very impressive. All right, this one's from Alan. I have Windows 7 Home Premium. I have no idea how to do a screenshot on this device. Is it even possible? Sure.
Typically, on your keyboard, there should be a button on there that says PRNSC, and that's the print screen button.
So really? That's how you do it? I do Alt Print.
You can do Alt Print as well. There's a button right there.
Print screen.
Print screen, and then you can just paste that onto anything you want.
Okay. Or Alt Print. That works for me.
That works as well.
All right. This one is from Robert. There's more frequent scare ads on TV these days about your email showing up on the dark web. Should we really be concerned and take their offers to verify it's true, or is this just another money generating scheme? And that's from Robert.
So these things, are, you know, there's always a commercial side to it.
Right.
You can't avoid that. But it's not a bad idea to sign up for some of these free services and just have your email address scanned to see if it is in the underground web.
What is the dark web and how does it work?
Dark web. Okay. So it's just another place on the internet. They call it the dark web because that makes it sound scarier.
Right.
But it's just, you know, your information or potentially your information at a place that's not desirable.
But it's the same internet that Al Gore invented, right?
So, that's right.
Okay.
Al Gore invented all.
All right. Fair enough. They call it that because that's where the bad guys hang out.
That's right.
Gotcha.
Yes.
All right. Let's go over to Maria in Olive Bridge. Maria.
Hi. I hope I can just ask this in a simple way. I have a young assistant who is very good with PC, but he doesn't know anything about Mac, and my computers are all Mac. And he does a variety of things for me, and I'm kind of beginning to think about a new project which would involve him assisting me but knowing how to use Mac. So I'm wondering, this is a preliminary thought on, I haven't looked into this at all, but what is the fastest, easiest way for a smart young guy to learn the basics of Mac so that when I go to edit this film on Adobe Premiere, he can help me with it? Of course, he has to learn Adobe Premiere too, but first he has to learn Mac. So,
the reason why Mac is so popular among younger kids is that it's very, very intuitive, right? The interface is about as simple as a OS gets. So it wouldn't take him very much to look at it, to learn it. I think there is kind of the rebellious mindset for a lot of PC techs out there that we don't want to deal with Macs, but Macs are...
No, he's excited about it.
Oh, he is?
He's
okay.
Excited.
He should have no problems learning the Mac.
Isn't Adobe Premiere also available for PC now?
Yes, they are available. So you can share files back and forth if you want, but it wouldn't take him much to learn a Mac. I would think half a day or a day of looking at the interface will get him right there where he needs to be. And
you say looking at the interface, I'm not sure if I know what that means.
Oh, just the general layout of the Mac interface. I mean, it's
how you do things on the computer.
Yeah, it's got a GUI interface, just like Microsoft. In fact, have you noticed Windows are looking a lot more like Mac these days and vice versa?
I didn't know that.
So the
collusion?
It won't take your assistant much to learn it.
But where would he get the directions to do this?
You can certainly get him a book, but the best thing to do, and I always tell people this, get... Have a Mac sitting in front of you.
And figure it
and
out.
And just click away. I mean, it Macs are...
It's kind of like
very,
a total immersion language class.
I mean, it's easy to learn.
Okay.
He should have no problems at all.
Well, thank you for that one. And over to Alan in Agawam. Alan, you're on.
Hi. Hi. Thanks for taking my call,
sure.
Ray and Tony. Hey, my son has a laptop, got it for Christmas. Within about 3 weeks, he clicked on a YouTube video. It's a Windows 10. And a screen came up, said Microsoft has noticed a malicious virus. You have to call this number immediately. I wasn't in the room when my son clicked on it. He freaked out. I came into the room, you know, saw this number. I called it. The guy said, okay, click run. And I thought I was talking to Microsoft. Click run. And I let him onto my computer. He got on as a shared user. Looked and said, okay, yes, you have a malicious virus. And then, you know, comes oh, $99, we'll clear it. And I said, wait a second, this is a brand new computer. He's only been online with it twice. I can't, you know, your computer's going to stop working in a day or two, and you have to pay, you know. So I started arguing with the guy. He got nasty with me, and he hung up. Now, by I know it was a dumb move to let him onto my network after, you know, after thinking the whole panic through it. But now, could he have taken any information off my network, or could he have left anything on my other computers on my network just by getting on this one computer?
Adam, I tell you, it's possible. So you really will want to scan all those PCs.
Take them offline and scan them?
Yep, take them offline and scan it.
And as soon as I got off the phone with him, I unplugged everything. Yeah. I shut my router off. I unplugged my network and everything.
So you did.
We have a Mac.
Yeah, you made all the right moves. That's good.
Okay.
Scan, you know,
we have a Mac, and we have noticed nothing. We did other scans on the other, you know, the other laptop and stuff, and really haven't noticed anything.
So Macs are not as susceptible to these kind of things. So I think you're probably okay on the Mac side. On the Windows PCs, download Malwarebytes. Scan for malware and viruses, and get that cleaned out. You should be good to go after that.
Okay.
All right. Good. Alan, let me tell you, I see that screen myself just last week.
Really?
And I was tempted to click on it because I'm looking at it going, this is from Microsoft.
Yeah.
Well, it's not.
It's not. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Thank you for the call. And we go over to Ellen in Germantown. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm having problem with my Dell all-in-one computer communicating, all-in-one printer communicating with my printer, and I date it from a Windows 10 upgrade, which, you know, was a few weeks ago. And my computer guy just said, oh, we'll go buy a new one. But I've been too stubborn to do that and then discovered that it's copying, it's scanning, and communicating with my computer when it's scanning, but it will not print from the computer. And I'm not real savvy. I did some computer trolling about this, internet trolling, and it did say try disconnecting the firewall, and I don't know if I did that right, but anyway, that hasn't helped it.
Probably not.
And I did check for drivers.
Yep.
You know, was it that I needed a new driver, and I was told that I was up to date, so... Do I have to give up?
No.
No. If it's scanning, then your software's probably working okay. Try uninstalling the printer software.
Oh, that's the simple solution.
Yeah. Just remove all the printer software on your computer, and then reinstall the latest version, download it off the off your printer manufacturer's website, and then reinstall it.
Now, would you have to go into the registry and clear all references to the printer?
That takes... A deeper look at
would
the
you
OS
want to
level.
Do that, though?
I typically don't recommend that for home users.
You don't recommend people go messing around with their registry?
No, really? Because that could really create some problems for you. Yeah, Ray would do that, but I wouldn't recommend that for.
Well, come on over, Ray.
I've done some real damage, Ellen. It doesn't mean I did it right.
So uninstall the printer software and reinstall the newest version on there and see if that helps you with the
That's
the
a good first step.
Yeah, that's a good first step.
Okay, you made a statement earlier about something like uninstall all the software everywhere. Well, I mean, there's like only one install, you know, like file or something, isn't there? I mean,
sometimes, because you got a multifunctional machine, it may have several different pieces of software
installed.
So you installed.
Might have a scanner program and program and everything else.
So
do
look it over. See, do anything that's related to the printer or the scanner, and then reinstall it. Hopefully, that will get you going.
Okay. And then you say this is a Dell product. If I go on the Dell website, I'll find an up-to-date driver.
If it's a Dell printer, yes.
That'll
be the best place to go to.
Okay.
All right, good luck, Ellen.
Good
Thanks
luck.
For the call. Over to David in Woodstock. David, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hi, David.
I have a strange problem on two Windows 10 machines. After they did their automatic update, I got into an infinite loop where I couldn't log in.
Oh.
You know, where normally once your password, sometimes it would flash up the desktop and then just go back to asking for the password again. And there wasn't any easy way of getting around that. Fortunately, I had some other accounts on the machine that I could use to get in, but there was no way I could get back to those original accounts. And I was wondering if that's something you had heard of or encountered before.
That's an interesting problem. So you have existing accounts that you can't log into, but the newer accounts that you've created are able to log into to the PC?
Right. There were accounts that were already existing. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to get in at all.
Interesting. That sounds like some software on the for some startup software on those particular users that's putting that into a loop.
You mean a program?
Program that only gets activated for that particular user because different users have different environments.
So then what do you do? Log in as an admin and take all the software off?
Yeah, I mean that's one option. You may not want to delete the user because then you lose files. But I will look at the on the registry level. In this case, you really do have to go in there and look at the registry level see what that user is actually loading up within their profile. It's got to be something within their profile.
Wasn't there a function where you can look at what programs start up as you start the computer without going into the registry?
Yes, but that's for the general computer. So that happens for everybody.
Oh, I see.
And his problem is in that this is a kind of a different scenario where some users are able to log on. So it's not the general startup that's causing the problem. It's that specific user's profile that's causing the problem.
Well, David, do me a favor. If you figure this out, call us back next time Tony is on. We would like to hear the answer to this.
Well, I found a bunch of fixes on the internet which involved going into the registry and doing different things, but none of them worked. What I ended up doing was actually, as an administrative user, copying every file into the user directory from the one that was hung up into a different user directory. And
good man.
I'm able to
good
use
man.
All oh, the files. But,
good man, David. You know, I was getting there. I'm like, I don't know if I want to tell him to do
that's
that.
That's pretty advanced stuff.
That's pretty good, David. That actually is a good approach.
Well, thank you for the call. We go to Eileen in Saugerties. Eileen.
Hi, I have a MacBook Pro that's a few years old and a relatively new AirBook. Mm-hmm. The problem comes about when I am asked to update to a new iOS system. I don't like to do that. I want, because it updates, there's some buttons you press where it updates everything to do with the iOS system, including iTunes. Mm-hmm. I do not want to update iTunes because every year they give a new version, and every year it's dumber and dumber. And
nice.
It's harder for the music enthusiast, collector, DJ to work with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I really like working with it. But so my question is, I did find a way at one point to update it, but not update iTunes. So in any case, what kind of, is it going to be running differently? Is it going to be running slower if I don't update the iOS? I think what I've been doing is updating iOS and keeping iTunes at, I'm at level 10 or something. I'm at three or four levels back. Should I expect it to run strangely at some point because it's not updated?
No, if you don't update your OS, iTunes wouldn't change from one version of OS to
That's
another
right,
version.
Right.
And when it comes to OS updates, I always give my users the same advice. If your PC is doing what you need it to do, don't upgrade it. There's no reason to. But if you have specific if you have specific reasons to upgrade it, then go ahead and do so. I would always recommend downloading patches for the current OS so that it's always up to date with the latest patch. But updating it to the latest OS is absolutely not necessary. We actually don't recommend that.
I'm really glad I called. Thank you.
Well, thank you,
you're
Eileen.
Welcome.
We appreciate it. Very quickly, we only have about a minute here. Let's go to Chris in Newburgh. Chris, you're on.
Oh, gosh, can you hear me? Because the radio's on and I'm trying to... Can you hear me?
Yes, more or less, yes.
Okay. My question is kind of more of a device question. I have an iPhone 6 and an iPhone 4, and I want to use them when I go on a trip to Iceland coming up here. And I wanted to know what kind of, if you know this, what kind of adapter or what can I buy so I can charge those phones up safely?
Okay, charging the iPhone in Iceland. I don't know what current they're on.
I think they run 220.
Same voltage,
there.
Yeah. 220. Okay.
220, but
Europe. Say it again.
I think it's like Europe.
Okay. Yeah. So there's got to be an adapter you can get.
Yeah,
for that.
You can get an adapter off Amazon or eBay easily to handle both for you.
And it'll work. It should work just fine.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Chris, we're done. Thank you for that one, Tony Yang. How do people find out more about Gig?
www.gigsystems.com.
All right. And any trips for you in the future now that you're back from Vegas? You going anywhere?
I'm going to Florida next week, as
many
of us New Yorkers are doing. Kids are off for the week. So we're going down there, and that's the only immediate trip for now.
All right, man. Well, I hope you come back in one of those smart suits. That'll be pretty impressive.
I wanted to put it on so badly. Maybe next year.
All right. Well, Tony Yang, thanks for being here. Support comes from Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the side of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972, PelhamAuto.com. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts, conventional and integrative veterinary medicine, including acupuncture, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998, WindyHollowVet.com. The Albany Pine Bush Preserve, presenting Pine Bush Perspectives, a juried photo exhibit featuring photographs of the natural environment taken by visitors, albanypinebush.org. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting the comedy Inspecting Carol by Daniel Sullivan, weekends through February 25th at Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. Thanks again to Tony Yang for being with us today. Thank you for listening and for the fantastic calls and emails. Zach Malloy was our engineer. Carol Lapani answered the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Barbara Chepitis joins us for a writer's forum. Stand by now for news.